Good morning. I'd like to convene the Education Omnibus Conference Committee for May 20th, 2019. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning.
Welcome to everyone. We are on TV this morning, so it's a little early in my day for popcorn, but, you know, the folks at home may be sitting and having a little popcorn. Welcome, Commissioner.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Dabney.
We should probably, Senator, congratulate our leaders at having arrived at an agreement. Better late than never, I guess, might be the theme.
Yes, I'm thrilled that we've got a signed agreement. We know what's required in that global agreement, and then look forward to doing what's best for our students, focusing on students, funding what works. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we'll see in the budget that we've put together in these last few hours.
And it is the last few hours. But I'm hoping that we've deliberated and accepted a number of things, House provisions, Senate provisions, a large number. I think the majority similar or same items already. So we've got a good base of policy work there. Now there's just a couple of details to work out inside $540 million.
Yes, let me just say, I think the committee has done a nice job. We did work hard even before we had those targets, mm-hmm. so we've gone through those technical sames, similars, took some House language, Senate language, sometimes melded it together. And by your count, there were 40 accepted Senate provisions. I'm assuming there's also 40 accepted House provisions. We try to keep very very balanced in that. So I think we've got a good start, and look forward to really, now that we have the funding targets, actually putting in those funds in the places that can best serve our kids.
And you know, as you said, I think we share a emphasis on serving the students of Minnesota and setting them up for success going forward. And so that'll be, I think, our task today.
Yes, let's get to it.
All right. Commissioner, do you have any opening comments?
Good morning, Chair Dabney, Chair Nelson. Thank you very much. Yes, I would like to actually thank both of you for bringing us to this point and the productive conference committee work leading into today. I also want to thank the governor, lieutenant governor, Senate Majority Leader, and Speaker of the House for their work to bring us to this point as well. I look forward to working today to build a budget for Minnesota students and working alongside everyone here. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner. With that, there is a document, 2019, up in the upper left-hand corner. It's a landscape-oriented document, upper left-hand corner, 2019 Legislature, E-12 Education Committee, upper right-hand corner, updated 5/20/2019, 7:57 a.m. This is the House's offer to the Senate. Let me walk through it. I will defer to the Commissioner, when we get towards the bottom where the MDE provisions are, but it is set up in terms of articles in the bill. And let me just walk through these pieces right now. The formula increase that we all are already familiar with, that 2% formula increase next year and 2%, an additional 2% the year after. If we're working down the lines, line 10, the early middle college program, this has turned out to be a powerful tool for a certain set of learners who are able to access middle college programs in our community colleges while completing high school and then moving beyond. We think it's powerful and has a great deal of potential, so we put a small amount of money there. Line 14, the pregnant and parenting pupil transportation. This is one of those two-generation approaches, because if you go back to the language for this provision, it requires not only that the school district be providing services for the pregnant or parenting teen mom, but also high-quality early childhood experiences and doing early childhood education with that mom. So we can really help both the mom and the babe, and they just need a little transportation aid to help make that happen. Of course, I think we all, moving on to Line 15, we all put a value on closing the opportunity gaps in Minnesota, and one of the opportunity gaps we have is access to high-quality pre-kindergarten opportunities. We place a high priority on continuing the 4,000 slots, the 4,000 opportunities for four-year-olds that we have in the state. Line 21 is actually a priority of Representative Cretias, the GOP lead on the Education Finance Committee here in the House. Certificate incentive grants. You might recall, Senator, Saturday I brought in a Star Tribune story about Ms. Lopez from Truman, who was graduating from high school and had a two-year RN degree from the local community college. This certificate and incentive grant is some funds that are available to allow to support students getting professional credentials. For some reason the reference is always to welding. I'm not sure that this is about welding, but it's that idea.
There's a significant shortage in welding.
There absolutely is. So supporting students getting professional certificates so that they can walk out of high school, they've got a credential, they can walk into the workforce. Moving down to line 29, Representative Erdahl, of course, has made a bit of a point about civics. But we also need to support the teachers in moving forward on some of the policy language that we've passed. The civic education grants go to a coalition of groups who do excellent work both with young people and doing professional development for teachers. So we can put those together and move some of the numbers that I've heard a couple of times from Representative Erdahl. In the House, moving down to line 30, we've talked quite a bit about bridges to post-secondary opportunities. So you can see that in the certificate incentive grants. You also see that in expanded support for concurrent enrollment. As you know, Senator, the statutory appropriation for concurrent enrollment classes is $150 a class a student. We're at about a third of that. So we've got a lot of distance to go on fulfilling the promise that we've made to schools and students there. Full-service community schools, of course, an important strategy for doing what schools are. They're the center of their communities, and in this way, making sure that there are services available to families. I think you've heard me say, you can't take the child out of the family or the school out of the community. Line 33, the Minnesota Center for the Book. I believe we are the only state, if we're not the only state, we're one of the few states that does not provide direct state support for the Library of Congress identified center of the book in that state. And this works both with schools and with the larger community and with Minnesota authors. So it's we're growing our own here in writing, and we like that. The Minnesota Principals Academy, moving down to line 34, strong leaders in our schools, very important. The Minnesota Youth Council, Madam Chair, I don't know if we talked about the one hearing we did that was entirely members of the Minnesota Youth Council. Works statewide. It's a remarkable group of young people, really building leadership skills and opportunities for them, as well as connecting them to the legislative process. I don't know, Madam Chair, if you've had to present a bill before the Youth Council when they come on down.
Yes.
It's a bracing experience. They're a serious bunch of young people, so we propose some support for them. We look to eliminate off-grade testing, and there's actually a small savings there. If we're going to test our kids, let's test them on the grade level they're in. The tribal contract schools, of course, important, making sure that those Minnesota students are treated equal with their colleagues. Line 47, the rural CTE consortium grants. You see the treatment there is a Senate provision, as is moving down to line 50. We are proposing we accept the Senate position on Starbase, and line 51, the Senate provision on the Vision Therapy Pilot Program grant. We have similar provisions on the Northwest Regional Partnership. That was a pilot, as you recall, played an important role. The Moving on to line 57, the Minnesota Council on Economic Education does very good work K-12 in teacher professional development, at not only K-12 but also interdisciplinary, working with teachers on how to embed economics lessons and entrepreneurship lessons that I find particularly exciting into their curriculum, and they are well deserving of legislative support. As you know, Madam Chair, the House has had a strong interest in both policy and financial support for the Teachers of Color initiative this year. It's clear to us that recruitment of people of color and Native American teacher candidates is important. Equally important is, once they have become teachers, is retaining them once they're in the classroom. There's challenges across our profession. We've got three teachers here, and yourself, the commissioner, and myself. Retention of teachers is difficult. Retention of teachers of color and Native American teachers is even more difficult. So some support for those teachers in their school districts. We propose our House provision on special education. It's very important to us that we freeze that cross-subsidy. We're not yet at a point where we can actually push that down. I'm excited with the conversations that the commissioner has had publicly about the interest in a task force that would look at the kind of the totality of the school funding formula. She can speak to it later if she so chooses, but we can at least staunch some of the bleeding here. Obviously, serving those students is job one. We have to serve them, but we also have to make sure that there are serving them doesn't mean larger class sizes, fewer books in the library, fewer after-school opportunities and the like. So we propose the House provision freezing the special education cross-subsidy. Mm-hmm. We also know that Minnesota ranks about 46th in the nation in the relationship of counselors to students. So we're proposing funding for the Support Our Students grants. This is a successful project that has been done before, putting more teachers and counselors and nurses and school psychologists in our buildings to better serve student needs. And so we propose that. Moving down to line 82, hungry kids can't learn. So let's make sure that they get a good, solid breakfast. And this targets schools with high percentages of low-income students so that we can make sure that everybody has a strong start to the day. Line 84, we've got similar provisions regarding the early learning scholarships. We'd like to see that go forward. Line 85, the House proposes the college savings account pilot program. If you have questions on that, we have had a proposal, we have had discussion about that. Mayor Carter of St. Paul came in. There's a growing movement. A number of states have adopted this as a statewide program. We're taking a more cautious approach here. The city of St. Paul has had extensive conversations and engagement with their community. They've developed a pilot proposal. So what we're suggesting here is that we fund that pilot proposal and that they then come back with a report that says, this is what worked, this is what we need to work on, this is how we could scale it up to a statewide opportunity. Potentially powerful tool there for those students. Line 87, you'll recall Dr. Chomolo. Thank you. Dr. Chomolo, the guy with the buffalo joke. Reach Out and Read, where he talked about how powerful it is to get books in the hands of young parents and their small children. I think if we wait for the parents and the young children to show up at the schoolhouse door, we've waited too long. And this is I think of it as a disruptive strategy, because I know when I first took our oldest child to their well child visit, I didn't expect a book, but I was thrilled to get one, as was she. And so if we do this where people don't expect it, we can have a significant impact on literacy. And this is a program that is proven already, and we're looking to expand it. Line 91 is the high school equivalency tests, given today's current workforce demands, making sure that everybody can get into the workforce with at least minimal skills identified. This makes the high school equivalency tests free for the next 2 years. This is continuing a project that existed under the Dayton administration where we saw more people taking their high school equivalency tests as a result. So it's a proven effective program. Commissioner, mm-hmm. would you like to speak to, what do we have, lines 93 through 105, and then I'll have one more thing after that, if you would.
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you, Chair Dabney. Committee, if you will notice, line 93 is a proposal for MDE's litigation fees for the lawsuits we share with a responsible reduction. Line 94 is MDE's operating adjustment. MDE's operating request maintains our service in this proposal and includes addressing that 1970s mainframe modernization that you'll see on line 98 as well. In the spirit of compromise that our leaders showed in this maintenance, this request no longer includes additional maltreatment investigators, additional data analytics support, IT adjustments for our EdFi work, national board certification features, a second chance agency director, or increased services from our regional centers of excellence. Line 95 is a proposal to just maintain the perpetuity operating adjustment. Line 98, as I said, is MDE's mainframe modernization being addressed. And line 105 is an operating adjustment to maintain the state academies.
Thank you, sir. Commissioner. And to Senator Nelson and others, I have to do a verbal addition here. There's an inadvertent oversight. I apologize. And maybe staff can provide me with a line number. It's the statewide concurrent enrollment. It's a zero impact on finances because we cancel and then reappropriate that money, but it was inadvertently left off of the spreadsheet. Ms. Adrians, can you identify what line number that would be?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and my apologies. That was my mistake, and I inadvertently left it off of the spreadsheet, but I believe it would have been, I think it was next to the Northwest Regional Partnership on line 52. We had thought of those two sort of in tandem. But it would function like the certificate incentive grant on line 21. So it will show up as a cancellation in 2018-19 of $400,000, and then that same amount will be reappropriated in fiscal year 2020. And so that has a net zero effect on the bottom line. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Adrians. And then, Madam Chair, just note, bottom left-hand corner, we propose all of the remaining House policy provisions as part of this offer as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome.
let me just say that we're all glad, very, very seriously, very glad that our leaders have come to this global agreement. And particularly, two aspects that are part of that global agreement, and I appreciate this direction from all of our leaders, and that is the 2 and 2 on the formula. So I'm glad I see you have that here. We're glad about that. And then I do just have a couple questions. One of the other aspects that all agreed to, this global agreement, were the tribal contracts. And those are on, let's find them here. Those are on, I believe, which is line 39. And I just have a bit of a question because the agreement with the leaders was, let's see. No, I think we have. I just want to make sure that we had the right amount. So $3.468 million in 2021 and $4.589 in 2022-23. So those are our tribal contracts goals.
Yes.
So I just want to make sure there was a couple lines there that were just a bit different. So we do have the correct amounts there. Now there's one thing that I did notice here that. All of these are House provisions, And but there's one thing that is just glaringly absent here, and that I see there is no money for safe schools. So, but I know that is a critical a piece for all. And then all the outstanding House policy provisions. So while we've accepted many of those same similars and technicals, things we haven't accepted, of course, are things that have significant differences, or they're just absent in one body or the other. So I want to thank the commissioner for once again being here today. We'll need to recess to the call of the chair so we can take this proposal to the Senate conferees. As you said, it just came out at 7:57 this morning, so appreciate the run-through. Fortunately, we've had long, good discussions on all the items, I believe, in this proposal. I do want to just see if there's any other questions from senators before we recess.
Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I believe Senator Nelson commented in the beginning about we've kind of been the same 40 and 40 on both sides. And we get a spreadsheet here in front of us that if you count up the number of House provisions, the number of Senate provisions, and the number of similars, we have 21 of the House provisions with one that is a negative. We have three from the Senate that are all negative and seven similars. Mm-hmm. That's your understanding, correct?
I didn't do that math, but I'll accept that you did.
Just seems a little unbalanced to me.
Well, Senator Jasinski, I would remind you that we are coming down in our targets significantly more than the Senate is coming up. My observation over the years is everybody likes to spend money. The differences between the two parties is where we find that money. So the Senate has much more latitude in their expanded target than the House does in its decreased target. And Senator Nelson, I want to assure you that we do have money for safe schools. The full-service community schools, responding to the needs of students and families and communities, is part of our safe schools initiative. Also, the Support Our Students grants is part of our safe schools strategy. We are also pushing hard for money to be in the capital investment bill that's there's an agreement around as well. That's important. And then, of course, the House did push very hard for both red flag laws to make sure that guns were not in the hands of people who were a threat to themselves or others, and for universal criminal background checks to make sure that when people buy guns, they do so only if they are legally allowed to carry those. We were thwarted on both of those provisions. And then, of course, we're also advocating strongly for school-linked mental health to be in the HHS bill where it traditionally resides. So there's a number of school safety provisions that are in our proposal here, as well as proposals in the HHS bill and the capital investment bill.
Chair Dabney, I see there's a gap in being able to actually make those school buildings safer in this particular proposal. But those are things that we will deal with. So with that, the Senate conferees, we look forward to a meeting in my office to go over this proposal and bring back a more rounded proposal.
And Senator, Ms. Adrians would like to respond to the tribal schools issue that you raised. Ms. Adrians?
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Chair Nelson. That was a good observation. The original costing for the Tribal Contract Schools Initiative was based on the formula allowance being increased to 3% and 2%. And so the reduced amount for the Tribal Contract Schools reflects the 2% and 2% increase in the formula. So there was a little bit of savings there.
Thank you. Mr. Chair. That was my question, that it looked like we had underfunded one of those requirements that our leaders had. So we're all good with
that.
Thank you.
And Madam Chair, just to simplify and hopefully make more efficient this process, if the Senate would like to use room 400 South here in the state office building, that has been set aside for education work, and we would be glad to allow the Senate to use that room.
We'll need to meet in the Minnesota Senate building. We've got a number of tools and documents and things there. So the Senate conferees will meet in my Senate office.
Senator Nelson, how long do you anticipate you will need just so that we can keep the public aware?
Well, I hope we're going to be faster than the House was last night. That was a four-hour deal to get this out. I'm certainly hoping the Senate will not take 4 hours to come back with another proposal, but I think you should say to the call of the chair.
I will say that, but can you give us some guidelines somewhere between 0 and 4 hours? Could you bring it in a little tighter than that?
No, Mr. Chair, I would love to do that. But seeing that there are no Senate proposals on here, I would say you might want to say 4 hours. We're definitely going to try and be faster than that. But that's if you need a time frame, we'll try and make sure that we don't take any longer than the House did last night to pull this together. But we're going to do a bit harder work because I believe our proposal will not have just Senate proposals in it. I think we need to do better than that. And we've got a time clock here. This conference committee report is going to be buttoned up at 5 p.m. tonight. And quite frankly, I think all the people around this table can do a much better job than us kicking it up to the leadership who, you know, came up with our agreement, and we're so thankful for that. But there's no one who knows education as well as the members at this table. So my hope is that we in this committee, where we have the history and the expertise, that we will be able to do our job and button this up rather than kicking it up to folks who don't serve on education.
You know, Senator, it's nice to hear whenever we share the same goals. And you're absolutely right. There's a great deal of knowledge and at least some wisdom around this table. And let me take this as an opportunity to thank the staff bipartisanly. I've always marveled at the staff, partisan and nonpartisan, and this experience this year has only increased that. So appreciations for them. Could we look at, say, a 10:15?
No.
Session at 10. We have, Senator Jasinski, we have House at 11, session at 11. So wanting to fit things in. Any more guidance as to when we can?
I gave you all again.
Recover? All right. We stand in recess. So call of the chair. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to reconvene this May 20th meeting of the Education Finance Omnibus Conference Committee. Senator Nelson, good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Nice to see you again.
And see you.
We've been busy since we met last. And we're so appreciative of finally getting those joint targets last night. We've got your offer earlier this morning. And it included the House offer.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we have in front of us here, which I believe is being handed out right now, is we have a Senate offer number one, which obviously includes the first two lines are those things that Governor Dayton said were absolutely important, which is the two and two, completely linked with those linked categories, and then of course the tribal contract schools. So we need to know those things. Those would be lines 8 and 39 if you're clear to the left
mm-hmm.
column. Those are non-negotiable. We are glad to accept those, and certainly we know that per pupil formula allowance is really the gold standard of education funding, so we're glad about that. The rest of the offer includes some provisions that are House, as we talked about, Mr. Chair. The first thing would be to look at the savings so we know how much money we will be spending in the end. So the first few lines after the global agreement lines include savings, some for the House had suggested, some that are similar, and some that the Senate suggested. And then we have a few things that are, we have further things that we've accepted from the House, a couple Senate things, And what I'd like to do is, in a broader, in a more detailed context, have Ms. Hofer kind of go through each line, and then see if there's any questions.
All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Hofer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. So being passed out to you is the Senate's first offer to the House. Just to briefly orient you to the spreadsheet, the lines down the left-hand side may appear out of order, but they reference the original line on the spreadsheet. So if you happen to also be looking at the conference committee change item sheet that Ms. Adrians and I prepared, those line item numbers should correlate to the line numbers on the change item sheet. So as Chair Nelson mentioned, the first two lines on the spreadsheet, line number 8 and line number 39, were in the global agreement. So line number 8 is the 2% and 2% formula allowance increase. This is about $388.8 million in the first biennium and $561.2 in the tails. Line 39 is the tribal contract schools aid. This would be $3.4 million in the first biennium and $4.6 in the tails. On line 21, the Senate accepted the House position, which was savings associated with the certificate incentive grant. On line 52, the Senate accepted the House's savings provision related to the Northwest Regional Partnership cancellation. On line 93, there was a similar provision relating to a cancellation of the litigation fees for the Department of Education of $2.5 million. On line 49 is the Senate savings for the singing-based pilot program, otherwise known as Rock and Read, of $230,000. On line 51 was the Senate provision that was also included in the House's offer today, the Vision Therapy Pilot Program, a cancellation of $200,000. On line 95 is an operating adjustment to the Purpich Center for Arts Education of $4.9 million in the first biennium and $4.9 million in the tails. On line 108 is a savings related to the Crosswind severance payments of $800,000. On line 84 is a similar savings related to the early learning scholarships. It's a cancellation of $4.5 million from fiscal year 2019. On line 139, there's a provision marked similar, and it's called Early Learning TBD. And this would be $50 million in the first biennium only for a program that the conference committee would jointly decide upon related to early learning. On line 94 is a modified version of a House provision. In the original Senate budget, there was a reduction of $3.4 million in the first biennium to the Department of Education's base. The Senate offer provides that this would be at the forecasted level and would not reduce the Department of Education's base. On line 69 is a modified version of the House provision related to special education. The Senate would propose a cross-subsidy reduction only, so it wouldn't include the other reforms included in the House's offer today. That would be $51.2 million in the first biennium and $89.9 in the tails. On line 105, the Senate acceded to the House position of providing the state academies with an operating adjustment of $1.1 million in the first biennium and $1.1 million in the tails. On line 92 was a Senate provision, which came at no cost. So the related line is down in the revenue section, line 113. This would be the Board of School Administrators fee increase from $75 to $100. That would generate $174,000 per biennium, and that is appropriated out. And that is within the general fund. On line 70 is a modified version of a Senate proposal on Safe Schools Aid. The Senate offer number one would provide $39.5 million in the first biennium and $41.7 in the tails for Safe Schools Aid. Then lines 137 and 138, these you'll notice are called House Provisions Finance Items from the House Omnibus and Senate Provisions Finance Items from the Senate Omnibus. So what the chair recommends is, after all of the provisions above, splitting the remaining amount between the House and the Senate, you'll see that the annual amounts are left excuse me, the annual amounts are left blank, but the biennial amount is $11.7 million in each biennium, and that's included in the total. And it would be up to the House and Senate to decide how they would like to spend that $11.7 million each. And then the final item is on line 114. This was a Senate proposal to allow the state academies to retain their rental income and use it for professional development. As a result, the general fund is reduced by $6,000 per biennium, and the special revenue fund would be increased by $6,000 per biennium. And line 119, you can see that the total Senate offer number one meets the budget targets of $540 million in the first biennium and $716 million in the tails. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hofer. Senator.
Mr. Chair, I know we've discussed, I think, all the provisions on here. The one piece that might be new that I wanted to touch base on is line 139. This is the early learning, to be determined. So all parties have $50 million of one-time funding for how are we going to fund our 3- and 4-year-olds. How are we going to do that? And there's some very different points of view on what's the best way to do that. And I think, and I know it's very important to you and your caucus, to me and mine, and also to the governor. And it's going to take some time to sort that out, what that's going to look like, but we're all pretty agreed on the $50 million. So the idea was to be able to plug that in to our spreadsheets, get the things that we know that we can agree upon, and we know that at some point soon, we're going to need to really hash out what's that 3- and 4-year-old early learning going to look like. But I didn't want it to slow down all the other things that we could be doing.
Senator, where do you expect we find the time to do that?
Oh, well, I think this is something we will find the time. I do believe the details are such that I get a sense this is one of those items that we'll be negotiating with the governor on, or his commissioner, perhaps. In speaking yesterday, last evening, I think she had some, is able to negotiate on the part of the governor, is what I heard. So could very well be the commissioner. But there are so many other moving pieces that I believe we will do that. But I think it's important for us not to spend so much time on that right now, that the most important thing is for us to get through the other parts of the budget that we are able to agree upon quickly, knowing that we will come back, and I mean, like, could be today, could be tomorrow, could be Wednesday. Hopefully, it have to be before Thursday. I understand we're coming back on Thursday, perhaps. So it would be very soon that we would have ironed out exactly what that looks like on those details. But knowing that we are charged with buttoning up our conference committee today at 5, is what I was told, and anything that's not, as I said, gets kicked up to leadership. And I believe that we have the best minds for doing what's best for kids and education sitting right here at this table. So my intention was to bring forth a Senate offer today that is focused on students, funds what works, is equitable to the governor's priorities, the House priorities, the Senate priorities, and then, of course, leaving, once we got those bigger pieces taken care of, at least with the dollar amounts, we don't maybe have all the details yet, on the early childhood, we have an opportunity here to agree upon what those dollar amounts are, and then we know that there is some that will be determined at the House, at the chair's determination with the House in your conferees, and then an equal amount that would be determined by the Senate in the Senate conferees. That was the idea and the gist behind the offer that we've presented. We did not want to, we could have taken the time to, you know, just present all the Senate provisions, but which is often offered, what the first offer is here's the Senate provisions, they're all my Senate provisions, and here's the House provisions, all the House provisions. But we thought we just skipped that step and went right to those things where we thought we can be able and should be able to agree and then move forward. So we can also spend more time talking about really some of the real sticky points, which could be what's that 3- and 4-year-old early childhood going to look like.
All right. Thank you, Senator Nelson. Commissioner Ricker, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Chair Dabney and Chair Nelson and committee. Thank you so much for allowing me to comment. Thank you so much for this proposal and the participation as a co-equal branch of government. Few comments just to inform this. It is a priority that we continue to continue our commitment to diversifying teaching, and so that remains a priority that I'm not seeing on this proposal right now. I also know I have heard quite a bit from the 80 or so communities that have those 4,000 voluntary pre-K spots, and hearing from those school communities about the availability of those spots, there are school communities counting on those spots, and that commitment to continuing those 4,000 voluntary pre-K spots is really important. And also, we do have an opportunity here to send a message around the special education work we do in the state of Minnesota. We have a real opportunity to first send a message of priority to our students with special needs, and we have the opportunity to make that 2 and 2 on the formula as whole as possible. And then finally, I do need to point out that when the department presented our proposal for maintaining our operating work at the Minnesota Department of Education, what the mandatory built-in growth in that was in MinIT, we have mandatory built-in growth for our lease that we have signed for our space for the next 2 years. We have mandatory built-in growth in the enterprise services rate increases, mandatory built-in growth in the known health care increases that will be incurred. And we also, just in this legislative session so far, we have new areas of partnership between MDE and the legislature while maintaining but not expanding the operating ask outside of that 1970s mainframe. And so far, MDE needs to change our data collection and analysis to reflect a new medium and high growth calculation method. We expanded the student maltreatment offenses language, and so there will be an increased number of maltreatment reports submitted to MDE, resulting in significant additional work for MDE in conducting intake, investigations, and making maltreatment determinations. Also, with lead in our drinking water, we are requiring MDE to develop guidance and consultation with the Department of Health on how to implement lead in drinking water legislative changes. And then we do have a requirement that MDE modify existing educational partnership programs to add several additional qualifying partnership characteristics under the educational partnership program design change. With this proposal, with the built-in growth, with the added opportunities to partner with the legislature on some new initiatives, there would be cuts to staff at MDE at the same time we were taking on additional partnerships with the legislature.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Questions from members to the Senate proposal?
Mr. Chair, I might
Senator
make
Nelson.
A few comments to the commissioner's comments just to kind of more fully flesh those out. Diversifying teaching certainly is important. It was, as I said, the Senate initiative, the Teachers of Color Act in 2017, and we did fund that at higher levels than the House currently is, and perhaps the governor's budget, too. I can't recall that. While it's a priority, it was not one of the priorities that was signed at the global agreement. And when we met last evening, although it was about 11:45, so I realize it was a tad late, that was not one of the issues that was addressed in our meeting last evening. However, the special ed was one of those items that you mentioned last night that was of great importance. And I wanted to make sure to add just a little bit of information to the Senate proposal regarding special education. Buying down that special ed cross-subsidy with the amount of money that we have in this offer is, at best estimate, buying down 3% on the per pupil cross subsidy and 4% in the tails. Do I have that correct, Mr. Arneson?
Mr. Arneson. Mr. Chair and members, that's a approximately correct. The Senate's approach in building this software was to identify the amount, the gross amount of the cross-subsidy reduction. And then if it was the committee's wish to pursue that, then we would back into some percentage subsidy reduction. But my estimate is it would be roughly 3% in the first biennium and beginning in fiscal 22, approximately 4%.
Thank you, Mr. Arneson. Senator Nelson.
And we know that particular approach is part of the governor's approach as well, although we're funding it at a bit higher level. And the reason that is so important is it delivers the aid to where the highest costs are. So because it's 2% of a greater number or 3% of a greater number would provide greater relief to those districts that are having the highest per pupil special ed cross subsidies. So it kind of, it gets to the problem. Now, in all openness, it does not get to the problem, which is of the bill back, which we have consistently talked about, both bodies. The governor is aware of that as well. And we believe that that will be addressed in the governor's task force looking at special education in general education funding in general, but there is a special piece, as I understand, on this bill back issue. It is very complex. We've looked at it over and over, tried to look for different solutions, because clearly the way it is now, there is, one could say, an incentive to overspend. When you are doing the ordering and not the paying, well, you might pay for 10 cents of every dollar you order. That can lead to perhaps overuse or over-ordering. You always have to keep the choices tied tightly with who's making those choices with the payer, and we're not doing that here. But we found that it's so complex that we actually need to have a more in-depth look at how are we going to better change that, which I think needs to be changed, that bill back. But the way the House did it would decimate some of our charter schools. And Minnesota is known as the home of charter schools. Some of the great innovation that has spurred further innovation in our public schools. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to do that. So we don't want any of those unintended consequences. So the Senate's provision is, again, to put more money into that special education cross-subsidy relief, but do it on the avenue that is sending those dollars directly to the districts that are spending the most on that special ed cross subsidy, knowing that there is another problem that we need to continue to look into. We just don't feel that the bill back solution, as the House has proposed, or even the governor's proposal, one of them is to then just backfill those charter school losses due to changing the bill back, which solves the charter question, but it doesn't really get to the nub of the issue, which is what we currently have is in effect driving up special education costs, because you can order something that you're paying 10% of. And so we need to get, I think, to a real solution, and I'm hoping that the governor's task force, I know there's a particular piece just on the bill back solution, so we are looking to that in the future as well. And then in addition, the commissioner mentioned the four-year-old, the 3- and 4-year-old. And again, we're agreeing on the money of that. And also all of the, you've got the list here of the BPK losses by conferee. We have the list too by, you know, all of the Senate, all the senators. I know, we know exactly where those 4,000 spots are. I hate to call them slots, they're children. Mm-hmm. But where those children are being funded. And the Senate proposal, as you know, takes the same amount of money, sends it to the same districts, to the same geographic area, only it allows the parent to choose at which high quality setting to use that scholarship. So all of the children would still be getting the same amount of early learning scholarship dollars. Of course, in the scholarship model, those dollars go to students who are most at need. In other words, students whose parents' income is under the federal poverty guideline, 185% of the federal poverty guideline, whereas the position by the House and the governor is not need-based. It just kind of says, let's pay for all 4-year-olds preschool. And I think you might have seen one of the editorials in the last couple days. I know Art Rolnick wrote one as well. But when we have unlimited resources, we can do those kind of things. But we live in a world of limited resources. And we know that our state is growing. Its demographics are such. We're going to continue to have needs, growing needs. And it's important that we target those resources to those most at need who would not otherwise be able to, in this case, afford a 4-year-old high-quality early learning. So we just have a different approach, but it's not a limiting approach. It's not less money for early childhood education, and it's the same amount of money going to the same areas. So we have that's why we kind of set that aside as its own. We're all agreed upon the amount of money. We're going to have to talk about what's the best way to deliver that. So I just want to make sure that that was covered, that you're well aware that those that $50 million is covered in the Senate proposal, just in a bit of a different way. So those were just a few of the comments that I wanted to put forward. And of course, we took the modified House position on the MDE base. So Minnesota Department of Education would be getting the amount of money that was in base funding, but it wouldn't be getting additional money on top of that. But the base funding was there, which was not the Senate position originally. But we moved to the House position, some near the House position on that. I think the House position has additional funding over the base. But that's just a little bit in response to some of the things that the commissioner brought forward. But I'd love to hear the other comments or questions from other members, as you call, Mr. Chair.
Senator, thank you. That was helpful for us to better understand the directions you're proposing we go. So very helpful for that. Thank you. Representative Youakim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to thank that, you know, Senate obviously took a long time to put this together, and thank you for looking at it. I am, too, want to echo the concerns about no money for the Teachers of Color and Indigenous Act, and we are on a tight budget. We didn't get the targets we'd like. We had to come down a lot on that. But my consternation is there's some good policy that we didn't adopt that could have helped alleviate some of that pain, yet we were told over and over again that, you know, the policy discussions will come later. So I hope we revisit that, because I noticed on the bottom of your agreement that you say we're still not going to have the policy discussion. So I hope you consider that a little bit, especially if we end up not being, you know, even the money we put towards that was nowhere near what they were requesting. So it would be nice to at least give them policy. So I'm also concerned about the no money for the VBK, and then also the money that you do put in is just in the current biennium, and we need some in the tails too, because there's promises that have been made to children in those programs. And I know I'm speaking for Representative Pinto, who's stuck over in public safety right now, and we've had this long philosophical discussion. I know we approach it differently, but the money for the VBK programs that we had in our budget just keeps the promises made to 4,000 kids. It stabilizes those programs, and those are programs then that give parents more choice when they do use their scholarship money. So that's something that we do need to definitely discuss. And yeah, and in public too. And I am concerned about the timeline. We were supposed to be wrapped up by 5, so it looks like we have a lot of work to do, and I hope we can still have some of those good policy discussions.
Thank you, Representative Youakim. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Rep. Youakim, I did want to note that at the bottom of our offer sheet, it says policy discussions upon finance agreement. So that's something we've said from the get-go, that we definitely want to get to those policy discussions. I think by your count, we've adopted maybe 40 or 80 different provisions so far. I would anticipate that we would continue forth with those things that we've already adopted, some policy, those policy things that don't have dollars attached. So, and if we, I do hope, Chair Youakim, we can get to those items, and note that if we don't, next year is that policy year, but this is the finance year, so our first priority is to make sure that we get things as budgeted. Regarding the VPK, I did want to just note that the House provision, TAILS is always good money, we like that, but the House provision neither does the House provision carry VPK into the tail. So I just wanted to make sure that that's clear. That is not a distinction between the Senate offer and the House offer. So just wanted to clarify a couple of those things.
Actually, Senator, the offer. Yeah, sorry. The offer, yes. I think we're okay. Any other questions from members? Senator, thank you. You've been generous in explaining some of the background, I guess, your thinking to this offer. I appreciate that. That's always helpful in our effort to find common ground. Oh, well, we look at that. We do continue the VPK at a reduced rate. That's the trailing payment.
Just the trailing payment.
That's
not
true.
It's just the cleanup payment.
I'm not sure that the public understood what we meant. But
we do not.
It's technical, folks. It's okay. We will go back, in an ongoing effort to find common ground. So getting, some of your background, some of your rationale, some of your thoughts is helpful. And we will be back no later than hopefully 3:45. We stand in recess. All right. Get smart right there. Good afternoon. I'm reconvening the Education Omnibus Finance Conference Committee for May 20th. Senator, we're coming forward with two dimensions of a proposal here. The House believes strongly that the learning environment for students and the people who are in that learning environment are critical to their students' success and well-being. And so we want to begin with a series of high priority House policy provisions. And for that, I'll defer to Chair Youakim to walk through these briefly, please.
All right. Need the microphone. So quickly, you see on the bullet point sheet, and I'm just going to give a high-level view because we have gone through and done the side-by-side.
Senator Nelson.
Mr. Chair, we don't have the here they are. But I just have to understand that in our remaining time before this finance bill has to be buttoned up, you want to talk about pure policy positions? There's important policy, but you want to do that instead of coming to agreement on finance positions? Is that, or maybe I misunderstood what you said. Can you kind of...
As they say in the theater center, yes and. Because the learning environments for students and who's in those learning environments are priorities for the House. With that, because of our limited time, Representative Youakim, you're working off the upper left-hand corner House office offer policy provisions 5/20/19 at 4 p.m.
Yes, thank you, sir. And I'll quickly go over this. We already have done the side-by-sides. The first five bullet points was what I mentioned earlier, where they're all the teacher of color provisions that are just policy, or if you look at Article 3, Section 52, that is the teacher mentorship and retention policy that goes along with earlier budget proposal, which will be on our next sheet as well. When you look under health and safety, we've talked about the radon testing language, very important to keep our kids safe in school. Also, the respectful meal language that we've had lots of discussion, and I know we have similar language on that, so I'm sure we could find something in between. The other one is removing the repeal of the School Safety Technical Assistance Center. And then if you go under the language that says tiered licensing, you have Tier 1 being able to join a bargaining unit that had been left off when we structured the tiered licensing system. And after the most recent court case, I think it just makes sense to at least give them the same ability as other teachers. And then the next bullet point is requiring teachers to actually take some sort. It could be a portfolio process, it could be an alternative pathway process, it could be grow your own, or it could be a traditional pathway process to go from tier two to tier three teaching. Under the other teaching programs, we have requiring, and we feel strongly about this, to put this into statute. Currently, it's just a rule, I believe, from PALSPY to make sure our tier three and four teachers have cultural competency classes to be able to renew their license. The next one is another policy provision where they're asking, and this one makes sense. I think we could agree on this. If there is a state-approved teacher prep program that we don't have here in this state, let's say teaching for sign language or something that's in a bordering state, that Pelsby would recognize that, but they need some language to do that, so they could take a teacher prep program from another state. They've also asked, because of the workload, to add two more members to their board because they're finding that it's very hard for them to get through the workload. We want to be able to be very efficient in expediting those licenses for teachers, especially the ones we're trying to recruit from other states. The next one is clarifying teacher experience for those two board members, because we've had definitions around who's been there already. And then under the student discipline, we had started to have a pretty good discussion, and we had the Department of Human Rights come in and walk through the non-exclusionary discipline language that was in the governor's bill and in our bill. And then also the early childhood had not allowing suspensions of preschool children in public school programs. And then under miscellaneous, we have got, I'm going through this way too fast. Under health and safety, I forgot to mention the unclaimed drug and medication disposal. Kind of skipped through ones I thought made kind of sense. The unclaimed drug and medication disposal language that had been in the compromise bill from last year that was vetoed. Comprehensive sexual health education is something our members really believe in, and was a strong representation on the floor vote on that. Also, the Senate provision for the school floor plans that you brought, that goes to emergency responders. We thought that was made a lot of good sense. So we'd love to take your language on that. And then we have some other tiered licensing requirements that we'd like to see in there, but we could discuss that further. And then also making sure that ECFE and ABE teachers can obtain a continuing contract. And then under the miscellaneous, I believe there has been an agreement from the JCRC and the resort owners on language around the religious calendar adjustment for school districts just for the 2020-21 school year, when Rosh Hashanah ends up the day after Labor Day. And it's very narrowly crafted, and we have that language for people to look at. Also, the foster care provisions that require student placement within 7 school days. We also have language that you had in your bill that we had missed in ours that we thought was a great idea, the 45-day window of time for referendum renewals, that the notification to make sure folks are notified before early voting starts. And then also the referendum renewal by school board that was in the House language and the governor's language. And I stand for questions, or we should probably go right to the budget.
Thank you very much, Chair Youakim. While Chair Youakim was walking through the priority policy provisions because of the House's priority of welcoming, affirming, and successful environments for all of our students, members were distributed our latest financial offer to the Senate. We pick up several Senate positions. We maintain some of ours. You'll recognize some of these, Madam Chair. Line 8, the formula increase as previous, and the voluntary pre-kindergarten, wanting to maintain the opportunity in those programs. We like multiple pathways to post-secondary, and so we're maintaining the certificate incentive grant program, canceling it for this and then reappropriating those monies. Eliminating the off-grade testing on line 37 as previously. Line 39, continuing the tribal contract schools for those Minnesota students. You'll see that we accept your cancellation of the rural CTE consortium grants, as well as your cancellation of the singing-based pilot program, Starbase, and the vision therapy pilot program. We, again, as part of our valuing multiple paths to post-secondary for students, wish to continue the Northwest Regional Partnership for that important training for teachers, to bring them in line with the Higher Learning Commission's requirements for teaching dual enrollment courses. Similarly, the statewide concurrent enrollment teacher training program is important for those reasons. We continue to see prioritizing moving more towards more of the people in the front of the classroom, looking like the students in the classroom. So we continue our priority of recruiting and retaining quality teachers of color and American Indian teachers. Special education, we continue with a priority on freezing the special education cross subsidies to support all of our students. The early learning scholarship cancellation there is similar in both bills, as is moving down to line 93, the MDE litigation fees. We continue with the MDE operating adjustment. We believe that the department plays an important role in supporting schools as well as implementing the directives of the legislature in their regulatory role. And in order to do that, they need an operating adjustment. We continue to support the operating adjustment for the Perpich Center so that they can provide both that the experience for resident students and commuter students, but also the arts education support that they do statewide. We think it is time, moving down to line 98, to retire the 1970s mainframe at the Minnesota Department of Education before it retires itself. And that is an ongoing, that's an issue of ongoing security certificates, because student data protection should be, I'm certain, something we would both value. The state academies are unique, and we support their ongoing operating adjustment as well. And let them keep that $6,000 in rental income that they propose. Perpich, the crosswinds, severance payments there, Senator Nelson. We see you. This is a Senate position. What we're proposing is, rather than canceling the full $800,000, we cancel $720,000 of the $800,000 to allow them to complete the severance payments to former staff there. Line. Then we pick up on your idea in the previous your previous response earlier today, with the Senate and the House and the governor dividing the remaining dollars available inside the $540 million target three ways. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We'd like recess. The Senate will be glad to go and look over your provision.
Representative Youakim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to point out the paper that was just handed out. These four different articles were rewritten language. Everybody had current language to look at, so you'd know, like, for instance, what the school calendar compromise was. And I just wanted to say the reason why it's so important for us to look at some of this policy is not just to make sure our school runs well, but also to be respectful of the four-plus months that our policy committee did function. It did have an important role this year, and wanted to make sure that was brought to the table. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Youakim. Senator Nelson. Oh, Senator Weaver.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is there an updated interpretation of the 5 o'clock deadline?
You know, Senator Weaver, in the old days, we could have just put a cloth over the clock.
That would be on Senate time?
He said that. I didn't. Senator Nelson, when do you anticipate returning?
As soon as we have an answer or an offer. So
guideline as to when that might be, to so we can inform the public. Do they get to go out to dinner? Do they have to do a drive-through? Can it be a sit-down place?
Yeah. And how long can we continue? I mean, we're, you know, 10 minutes to 5. We don't know exactly when we'll get looped in. I think everybody should go have supper.
All right. Okay. We are in recess to the call of the chair. Keep an eye on your emails. Thank you all very much. Thank you, Senator Nelson.